Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that this would be our confidence. This would be our assurance that, Father, in Christ, we have a place reserved in heaven for us. But that, Father, not only do we have that place in a future sense, but that, Father, we have a place in your will today that we can call on your name and you will grant to us the things that we request, that we might live for your honor and glory. Father, this morning, may you fill our hearts. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, help us now to engage you in your word, to engage one another after service, but also, Father, as we've engaged with you in music, Father, that, Lord, our souls would be filled, our hearts would be filled with your joy. For that we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, open with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. We've been talking about life in the Spirit. How many of you ever made a reservation? For dinner? Okay. For a hotel? For a flight? For a rent-a-car? For service call? Right? You make a reservation, and they usually give you what back? A confirmation number, right? And that if there are any problems, you simply present the confirmation number, and they will look it up and see that, oh yes, you do have a reservation for service or lodging or rental or whatever it might be. And especially if you do it online nowadays, they send you a confirmation email. Or they might send you a confirmation text. So what we have is what may seem like a simple paper or a simple number, but that number represents a confirmation. Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, in him, in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him, or secured in him, with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the seal, and it speaks of the seal. In the old days, they would put some wax down, and then you would put your ring, and that was a seal, a confirmation. That was of ownership, or of authority, or of authenticity. Authenticity. I think I saw some commercials. There's a movie out with a lady. She's forging old documents and selling them, and they finally catch up to her, and they realize they're not authentic. Well, this seal that they put had the authority of whoever the ring belonged to, a signet ring. That it belonged to. And so he says here that we were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge or a down payment or a security for our inheritance. So we see that the Holy Spirit is our confirmation number, as it were. He confirms our reservation in heaven. I'm not supposed to pick up my right hand. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So as we think about the confirmations we've had, the confirmation numbers, the security deposits, and or the assurance that when we travel, we get there, we're not, you know, if say you were flying to New York and you have a confirmation for a hotel, you don't want to get to New York and find out you don't have a hotel room, right? So you need to have that confirmation number. Now, when we come to the end of our lives, we want to be secured that we have a confirmation number when we get to heaven. Now, again, the illustration falls apart because God doesn't need to give us a number. He knows. He knows, and he has confirmed it in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is that confirmation for us. And that's what we want to talk about this morning in verses 9 through 11. Just let me read them to you. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you will also be raised with Christ Jesus from the dead. And he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for the confirmation of your word. Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that we would have that assurance. In Christ's name we pray. Our place in heaven is confirmed. The Holy Spirit is our security deposit. He is our pledge. The pledge from God that you will be there. As John 14 says, and let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe also in God, that where I go, I will come back and take you. We have a place reserved in heaven. And if we have a place reserved in heaven, that should give us an inner peace. That should give us a passion for spreading that gospel to others. How many of you have family and friends who are not saved? Who are in need of the gospel? We all do, don't we? And when we have the assurance, I remember talking to one of the guys I used to work with. And I told him that I'll be in heaven. He said, oh, you don't know that. Yeah, you don't know that. I said, well, yes, I do. I do know that. And I have the assurance, not because I'm a good guy, not because of my looks, not because I've got money, not because I attend the right church, not because I read my Bible, none of that. Because the Bible says that, what do we read in 1 John 5:13? That these things are written so that you will know, that you will know that you have eternal life. Because again, in John 1:12, and we'll see this verse later, that he gives the right, the power to become children of God to those who believe. So that we have, through faith, we have the confirmation that these promises, even though we may see them only in paper, it's more than just paper, because this book is backed by the Almighty Sovereign God, and that he does not go back on his promises. Now, in this passage, when we see the word if, we can substitute the word since or because. Since indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, or because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So again, we can use that word. It's not an if as in it's in doubt, or if it could just be a possibility. No, since or because these things are true, this is the result. So as we think about that in these three verses, specifically, that this is the reality of it. So point number one, the Spirit confirms you belong to Christ. The Spirit gives you that confirmation that you belong to Christ. You know, again, I can't imagine these players, these football players, you know, they're in spring training, the OTAs and all this stuff, and they haven't made the final roster. I've never been in that position. I've never been in a situation where I've been on a team that the possibility of me getting cut was there. But can you imagine the weight weighing on you? That I could get cut, or I don't belong to this team, or I'll never make it? The Spirit of God confirms in us, because he says in verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh. This goes back to what he said last week in verse 7. Because the mind is set on the flesh, is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh. And he's talking here to believers. You are not in the flesh. You are not. The sinful nature does not have total control over you. That's the way it was when you were before Christ. But no longer does the spirit, the sinful nature or the flesh have power over you. This power of sin has been broken. The power of sin has been cut. So he says here, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if the Spirit of God dwells in you, we now have relationship. We now have a connection with our Savior. Our Savior is our Savior, my Lord, my God. So there's this family connection here. And that's why when I do a funeral, I say, you know, we go through the Lord's Prayer, because many times they just finish the rosary and they've prayed our Father. Well, how is he your Father? What makes him your Father? How can you call him Father? That implies a relationship. And this relationship to the Father is only made possible through Christ, and it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. So if you today are in the Spirit, if today you're not in the flesh, if you're born again, if you're brand new in Christ, if you're a new creation or new creature in Christ, you belong to Jesus. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that, you know, I can't imagine growing up in foster care. Or being in an orphanage where no one claimed you. Or to be left at the doorsteps of a hospital. We had maybe about 8-10 years ago, right here in the on Speedway, this little alley is called Speedway, it's a street. Next to the trash can, they found a little baby. Somebody walking by heard the baby crying, and they called the police and the paramedics. This was probably around 7:30, 8 in the morning. I guess somebody on their way to work or on their way to school heard the baby. Can you imagine growing up with that idea that you're a throwaway baby? That nobody cares for you? Nobody knows your name? And that's why when we sing the Tommy Walker song, he knows your name. He knows your name. But he knows more than just your name. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Friends, that's the privilege. That's Christianity at its core, to have a relationship with our Savior. You know, again, we make a lot about a lot of things, and I'm not saying that those things are unimportant, but at the core of this thing of Christianity is a relationship with God. You know, there's some that say, oh, well, the fatherhood of God, everybody's a child of God. No, everybody's a creation of God's, but not everybody is a child of God. And this whole issue here of relationship, because if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are in Christ. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So again, one of the things that we see here, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ are equal. I mean, that's another benefit or another proof of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God, co-equal. And so if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. You don't belong to him. That's the relationship you need to have. And the confirmation that the Spirit gives to each and every one of us is when the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are in Christ, that we are belonging to him, that we are in relationship with him. John MacArthur writes that the person who gives no evidence of the presence and power and fruit of God's Spirit in this life has no legitimate claim to Christ as Savior and Lord. The person who demonstrates no desire for the things of God and has no inclination to avoid sin or passion to please God is not indwelt by the Holy Spirit and thus does not belong to Christ. Stop for a moment. Where's your inclination with regards to sin? Do you abandon anything you've learned and just go for it? To eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I shall die? You know, again, we find here a lot of, in this whole concept of evolution, it's not just that it smacks of disrespect and disobedience that we have a creator God, but it's setting people up to believe that they could do whatever they want here on earth because they'll be annihilated. They won't have a life after. There is nothing after the grave. Friends, that is a lie. There is after the grave. There is a place called heaven, and there is a place called hell. And it's either or. Either? No, it's not either or. It's heaven or hell. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the Christians there in Corinth. Because remember, 1 Corinthians was written as a letter of correction, a letter of rebuke. He was exhorting them to get things right, to get their act together. And he reminds them at the end of the second epistle that's written, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Now, friends, how do we examine this? Well, I read my Bible every day. Well, I go to church every day or every week. Or, you know, I give in the offering plate. Or I look Christian. I dress Christian. I smell Christian. I must be Christian. A true test is when you are faced with temptation. What does your heart say? Or when you find yourself in sin, is there any conviction of right and wrong? Do you sense a reality that I've disappointed God, or I've let God down, or I've disrespected God, or I've blasphemed God because of my choices of actions, of words, and of even thoughts? Because Jesus took it to another level in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, some of you say, if you if you commit adultery, you've sinned. I say if you've lusted after a woman, which is in your head, that you've committed the sin of adultery. So it's even with our thoughts. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you failed the test. Friends, our standard is Jesus Christ, not somebody else in the church, not the pastor, not the elders, not the Sunday school teachers, not that person who's been in church all his life or her life. But Jesus Christ is always our standard. And we look to him to measure our godliness and his humility and his compassion and his love and his mercy. And on the list goes. 1 John 4:13 says, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. How can I pass? How do I test myself? Let me point out one other thing. It says, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. If there's no discipline, then there is no relationship. Because a true father will always discipline their children. Now, discipline we always take in the negative punishment or taking things away. But this area of discipline is also in the area of training, of developing. You discipline them for righteousness. You train them for righteousness. So the Spirit of God here brings confirmation that I belong to God, to Jesus. And that is a confirming reality that no matter what we face on earth, I belong to Jesus. And that will override any suffering or pain or struggles I may face on this short span of life. Even if we live to be 100, it's simply a short span of life compared with all of eternity. And so I can make this, I can do this. Why? Because Christ, I belong to Christ. He has ownership over me. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my God. And you mess with me and you mess with... Do we know this? If you mess with me, you mess with God. Because I am his son. And I pray that you are his son and or his daughter. And you would know. And you could walk with assurance through the midst of the struggles. You could drive your car, your Uber car, through East LA, knowing that I belong to Christ. And you could walk that green path, that Whittier green path, that I belong to Christ. That I could, I was at a pastor's luncheon, and Pastor Oliver, I forget his last name, has a church right there in the midst of Compton. That I can pastor a church here in the midst of Compton. Or Dr. Paul Felix, who runs the LA Bible Training Center, whose Bible school is right there on what was one of the worst of the Crips, the Grape Street Crips, that they ran the school with the confidence and assurance, we are doing this for Christ. I belong to Christ no matter how bad my neighborhood is. I am here for Christ's sake. Or Jim Cimbala up in Brooklyn, who planted a church right there in the midst of the worst part of Brooklyn, only to see God transform not just him, not just his wife, not just bringing his daughter back, but they transform the community. Why? Because I belong to Christ. I am Christ's ambassador. I am Christ's representative. I am Christ. And he will use me as he sees fit. Amen? Are we ready? You're getting carried away, Pastor. You're asking too much. Point number two. The Spirit confirms that righteousness has made you alive. Okay? Look with me to verse 10. If Christ, or since Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. That we all deserve death because of a result of the sin in our lives, correct? The wages of sin is death. We are dead. Ephesians chapter 1 says, let me read it to you. I didn't put it in your notes. I'm sorry. It's not Ephesians 1. It's Ephesians 2. I want to get it correct. I get excited and I misread them.
and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all, formerly, we too all, Paul's including himself here, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Adam and Eve were told, don't eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. They were separated in their relationship with God. They were cast out of the garden. A seraphim was put there, or was it a seraphim or a cherubim? One of the two was put there at the entrance of the gate so that none of us could go in and eat of the tree of life. So Adam and Eve could not eat of the tree of life so that they would not live in their sin forever. But he had promised a deliverer, somebody who would come to deliver them, to redeem them, to regenerate them, to buy them back from their sinful place and position. And in the Old Testament, we see the saints looking forward to the Messiah and his full sacrifice. As they did their different sacrifices, they all pointed to Christ. We in the New Testament, we have the confirmation, we have the assurance, because we have read the eyewitness account that Jesus died for our sins and that he rose on the third day. And he is now seated where he continually intercedes for us. But its righteousness has made us alive. Look with me to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. It says that God made him, Christ, who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was perfect and without sin. He was holy. Why? Because he's God. He who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, he took on our sin upon himself. Holy, righteous God took on, and this is what is in the cup. When Jesus says, Lord, if this cup could pass from me, was the wrath of God against sin. Jesus not only took upon the sin, he took upon the wrath of God to punish sin for my sake, for your sake, for anyone who would believe. So he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the righteousness in which you and I now have, the righteousness in which you and I now live by, has been what is a technical term, imputed. It's not imparted, it's imputed. Christ's righteousness has been put into our very heart. He has set aside the old operating system, and he has put his operating system in us. And his operating system is righteousness. So it is a righteousness now that has given me new life, that has given me relationship with God, that has enabled me now to have the confirmation and the assurance that I will have a place in heaven. So this righteousness that Christ has put in me, not because I deserved it, not because of any reason other than his grace, for we are saved by grace through faith, right? It is not of ourselves that any of us should boast. So this righteousness that we have, it comes in because of God, and this righteousness now makes us alive. Now we have relationship with God. Now that the Father sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ in us, and he saves us, and when we get to the gates of heaven, he will see the righteousness of Christ in us, and allow us access and entrance. Because it is perfection that required to be in the presence of God. And that's why when the high priest, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, he would have to sacrifice and consecrate himself and cleanse himself of his sin before he entered into the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of God dwelt during those days. And so that he would enter in clean, without sin, that he would survive the time in the Holy of Holies. Now, friends, we know that when Christ was crucified, that the veil to the Holy of Holies was torn open, that we now have access into God's presence. And in the presence of God, God the Father sees the righteousness of God, of Christ in us. So that now I am acceptable in his hand. I am acceptable into the family of God. I am now one of his. That's not a license to go out and do whatever I want, but it's a reminder to us, the confirmation. But when we get to heaven, If the Father were to ask us, why should I let you in? Because of the righteousness of Christ in me,
because of his sacrifice. He has made me white as snow. He has released me from the power and penalty of sin. That I am now his child, and I have access whenever he wants it.
Back up to verse 16 of chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is what? Being renewed day by day. That is the inner man. That is the spiritual nature. That is the nature of Christ in us. That is the righteousness of Christ in us. That day by day, I am being renewed. I am being made more like Christ. Amen? And so the Spirit of God confirms to us that I belong to Jesus. His Spirit bears witness that I belong to him. Man, again, what greater relationship can we have? As much as I love my wife, you know, and as much as I love my children and my grandchildren, my relationship to Christ trumps them all. But in my relationship with Christ, I am called to love my wife and my children and my grandchildren. And I am to love them as Christ has loved me. And now I can do so only because of Christ in me, because of the righteousness of God in me. That now, not only do I have the opportunity and ability to make the right choices, I have the desire to make the right choices. Because each of us, we, depending on our training, we pretty much can do, behave in company, right? Yes or no? We get our kids. What do we do to our kids if they don't say hello? Well, we don't slap them on the back of the head. We remind them, say hello to Mr. Magallon. Say hello to Mr. Torres. Say hello to Mr. Morales. And we get that. A lot of my good behavior came out of a good upbringing, a right upbringing. You know, my mother not drilled it into me, but she taught me how to respond and with respect to people. But does that make me saved? No. Something else that occurs as we get older, you young people may not quite understand it, but as we get older, we just get tired of the drama and the foolishness. Right, older ones? So we're not looking for it. We're avoiding it. But does that make us saved? No. So we can do things, or things can happen in our lives that allow us to live what I would call making us look like good Christians. But friends, is the desire there to live right with God? Do we see, you know, whatever it might be and say, man, I wish I was young. I can get involved in that. I can jump on that real quick. Or is it, you know what? That doesn't interest me, because I have a greater interest in loving my God and seeking to be pleasing to him and to follow 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether I eat or drink, whatever I do for the glory of God. I do it for his sake. So friends, the Spirit of God confirms that you belong to Jesus, but the Spirit confirms that righteousness has made you that you are alive today spiritually. You are more alive today than ever before. You know, a friend of mine, Robert Corrales, passed away, and another friend, Pastor Tim Walton, did the services for him. And one of the things he said, you know, if Robert could come back and share with you for 30 minutes, there's three things I believe Robert would say if he came back from heaven. And the first one would be saying, he would say, that everything Jesus promised is true. It's true. Well, we don't need Robert to come back to tell us that, because whatever God has said in his word is true. It is truth. And we can bank on it. We have eyewitnesses' account who have recorded this. We have the Holy Spirit that illuminates, opens our eyes, gives us light that we might understand. And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that brings confirmation
Because each of us are looking for some kind of confirmation, right? That's why at work, if we're stumped, we go to somebody else for confirmation. Is this right? Am I on the right path? No, we don't ever want to be on the wrong path, right? We don't want to be embarrassed. We get down the road and we're lost. We try to use GPS, and for the most part, GPS works, right, Al? For the most part, it works. Not always, but for the most part. And we can drive down with confidence. Hey, GPS is taking me. We were going somewhere a couple weeks ago, and we were pressed for time. We were going down the 5, and it tells us to get on the 91. Well, we're going down towards the beach somewhere. We were going down to Dana Point. We're going down to Dana Point. And I'm thinking, Dana Point, you go down that way and you go that way. It's taking me to the 91. I said, no, I'm not going to go down the 91. That in my mind doesn't seem right. Well, I know why it wanted to take me on the 91, because the 5 was backed up. So we got stuck in traffic. What GPS was trying to tell me, I'm going to take you around this roadblock, this slowing down of traffic. I'm going to take you around it and get you there. And sometimes God, the Holy Spirit, gives us instructions or the Word of God and tells us what we should do, and it doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, friends, when we have God's Word, we must submit ourselves to His Word. Why? Because now I can do so, because now I'm alive in the Spirit. The Spirit directs me through His Word that what is true and what is right, even if it doesn't make sense. The third thing we see here, back to Romans 8. One of the things I forgot to mention to you, we have some Bibles now in the pews and in the seats, underneath the seats. So if you don't have your Bible with me, feel free to use one of them. We're in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit confirms you possess. I put new and or eternal life. They're the same thing, but I want us to understand that sometimes we think of eternal life, we always think of the future. But this new life affects us today, right? This new life is from the moment of salvation forward. We will not enjoy its fullness, its completeness, until we pass from this earth into eternity. So this is an idea that the Spirit of God confirms that you possess this new life, that you possess this eternal life. Watch what he says in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Stop and think about that for a moment. When our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, He died physically. His body was placed into the grave. Now the power used by the Father through the Spirit that was used to raise Him from the dead is the same power in which He makes us alive. If He made Jesus alive and brought Him out of the grave, do you think it will be any less effective for us? It's not about us. It's about Christ. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit. It is His work to raise us to new life. And that new life is something we begin to experience even here. But the same power, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is the same God with the same power that's going to be used to give us new life. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You know what? You may be right. But God does. And in spite of that, He gives you new life out of His grace. Even though you've blown it. Even though you seem, you feel you're unreachable. Or maybe somebody in your family, you think, oh, man, if you knew my uncle like I do, you know he's unsavable. Well, the problem with that statement is you've simply blasphemed against God. Because it is God who saves us, not on the basis of righteousness. But God has saved us based on His grace and His love and His mercy. That what we might think is impossible, we know that the Scriptures teach us that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nada, zero, zilch, nada. Is impossible with God. So the same power which was used to raise Christ
And the same God is the same power in God that will use, he will raise us and give us new life. In John 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians is the next book after Romans. Chapter 15. Chapter 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. It speaks of the resurrection. It's probably the greatest focus or attention given to the resurrection in all of Scripture. We come down to verse 50. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." My flesh, my body, no matter how young we try to make our bodies, how fit we try to make our bodies, they're still going to go into the grave and rot. Flesh and blood can't inherit the eternal life. He says here, "the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Heaven is an imperishable place. It will not perish. It will not rot. How many of you bought vegetables and left them in the refrigerator a little too long? What happens to them? They rot. What happens if you buy some meat and forget it's in the bottom drawer of the refrigerator? You open the refrigerator door and say, "Man, what stinks?" It rots. Flesh and blood rots. It cannot be imperishable. God didn't make this body now for me. Allow me to have this body, for this body to enter. And why? Because this body is filled with frailties and impurities. And it's not perfect. So he goes on to say, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep." And the idea of sleep is death. "But we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised from imperishable. And we will be changed. For this imperishable must put on the imperishable." This is the transforming work of God through salvation, that he transforms our earthly bodies into spiritual bodies. That when we are raised from the dead, we are not raised with a fleshly body, we are raised with a spiritual body, one that will be able to live forever. Do you want to stay in your body forever? I don't. Not the way I was feeling last night, and not the way I rolled out of bed this morning. I don't want this body forever. Not because I'm embarrassed of my body, but my body is falling. What did it say? The outer man is decaying and the inner man is. Even the strongest of the strong bodies decay. We just saw an interview with Schwarzenegger, Arnold. Multiple times Mr. Universe, with muscles upon muscles. And now? Looking a little shabby there, Arnold. But that's the nature of the human body. But that's not the nature of the spiritual body. The spiritual body will not decay, will not perish. Now, I'm pressing this and I'm emphasizing this, friend, because I want us to understand, take care of your bodies today, but your body that you have today is not what you're taking into eternity. I'm not telling you to eat whatever and blow your diabetes diet or your heart diet or whatever diet you're on or whatever healthy manner you're on, but what we have here is decaying. And it's okay because it's going to be cast aside one day and I'm going to enter into eternity with a brand new body. What's it going to look like? I'm going to wait to heaven. I want to be surprised. I'll let God give it to me and God will show me how good my body's going to be, as well as yours. So I left off here, verse 53, let's go back to 53. "For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." I saw a Twilight Zone episode. There was a gentleman who was he was a salesperson, I think. I guess he had made some kind of deal with the devil to live forever. It's not possible. It's a Twilight Zone, okay? So bear with me on this. If you're not familiar with the Twilight Zone, you're probably really young. But the Twilight Zone was weird stories about people. So he was dating this woman his age, and they were having a good time.
And an elderly woman came to the front door one day. When he he opened the front door, and she shot him. And the other woman couldn't understand what was going on. I'm adding to the story here, but it's my story. This older woman, the elderly woman, said, "You promised to love me forever." See, what happened is that once the woman got too old, he left her and went for another woman. And he went and said to this effect, "I'm glad I am dying. It has been a lonely life to live this long with all my family and friends dying and not being able to move on with them." Because he never aged. He never aged. And I guess there was a picture of him in the Civil War, and that was him. Friends, even though I messed up the story, you and I, in all reality, do not really want to live in the body you currently have forever. The reality is that I and every believer will have a brand new body, and the Spirit of Christ, this Holy Spirit, confirms that to us, that the perishable will put on imperishableness. The mortal will put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, this mortal will put on the immortality, verse 54, then will come about the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That we will raise, that we will be raised into heaven. That we will have this new body. We'll have a new dwelling place. We will have everything brand new. And it's because of the righteousness of Christ that has made us alive that we can have the confirmation also that now we belong to Jesus. You know, growing up, we had all these different things. I want to belong to that club. I remember if you were into lowriders back in the 60s and 70s, everybody wanted to be in the Imperials. Imperials was the classiest of the classy of lowrider clubs at that time. Or, you know, if you were on campus at a college, you wanted to belong to a specific sorority or fraternity house. Or if you just, you know, whatever it is that you wanted to be, or if you had your idol. I think everybody right now wants to be Bruno Mars because he's in concert right now. But, you know, again, I want to belong to Christ because in Christ I have forever. What about you? Where is your forever going to be? In 1631, a man named Robert Bruce, who was part of a denomination called the Covenanters, had been sentenced to death for preaching the gospel. On the morning of his execution, his daughter cooked him an egg for breakfast. It was his request. He wanted an egg for breakfast. I guess at that time, you didn't have to worry about cholesterol. It was so nice, he says, that he almost asked his daughter if she could cook him another one. And then he paused and said to her, "I've enjoyed breakfast with you this morning. I will have supper tonight with Jesus." Here was a man who was ready to die. Here was a man who had been confirmed by the Holy Spirit that he had a confirmation. He had a reservation in heaven. And that he was content. He was satisfied that it was God's time for him to be taken to heaven. Friends, are you ready to die today? Are you ready to go? I mean, are you prepared with the reservation? I'm not saying you want to go now. I'm saying, are you prepared? Do you have that reservation secured for you? Friends, if you don't have that reservation, if you're not sure, God gives you an opportunity, and he's giving you one today. That you can have the confirmation, you can have the assurance that you belong to Jesus, and that it is Christ's righteousness that has made you alive, and that you can be confirmed, you can have the confirmation, the assurance that you possess that eternal life today. You don't have to go searching for it. It's right here in the scripture. That we are sinners and that God is a holy God. And that the only way I can, as a sinner, enter into a holy God's
presence is to have my sin forgiven through Christ. If we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we will be saved. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. These things are written that you would know that you have eternal life. Friends, if you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, if you haven't released the reality that you cannot save yourself and embrace the free gift of God, you can do that today. You can say yes to Jesus right here, right where you are, and to say, I need you, God. Help me, God. I am a sinner. I am unable to save myself. I need your hand upon me. Father, this morning, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us here would have our reservations secured in heaven. Not secured by myself, not by my credit card, by my bank card, or anything I've done, but because of Christ, who by his grace saved me. I pray, Father, that each and every one would have that assurance. But Father, if there is someone here today who hasn't made that arrangement with you, who hasn't received that free gift, that Father, you would call in their hearts, that you would tug at their hearts and draw them to yourself even this morning. Lord, that they would recognize that there is no greater relationship than to have a relationship with the Almighty God. And we can cry out to you, Father. I pray today, Lord, that we would be sensitive to those around us who need the gospel. I pray for those of us who will try to use Wednesday as a leverage for the gospel. I pray, Lord, as Christmas approaches or Thanksgiving approaches, that, Father, we would point people's hearts and minds and realities to Christ, that we would show our own gratitude for the Almighty and all that you've done. That, Father, as Christmas comes, Lord, that we would talk to people about the Savior that has come, that was promised thousands and thousands of years ago, millenniums ago. Or that, Father, as the new year comes, we can always remind people of new beginnings. That we can have a new beginning in Christ. But whatever the day, whatever the week is, whatever the opportunity is, that, Father, we would take advantage of it and use it for your glory. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.